The name of the message today is, Where Do They Hide? Where do they hide? I'm going to read the whole psalm to you. It's 24 verses, and there's a lot in the verses, but I just want to spend a short period of time this morning with this particular message, Where Do They Hide? And if you have your Bible, turn over there to Psalm 139. Verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I get up. You understand my thought from afar off. You search my path and my lying down and are aware of all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it fully. You put yourself behind and before me and keep your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is lofty, and I cannot fathom it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the end of the sea, even there your hand shall guide me, and your right hand shall take hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light shall be as night about me, even the darkness is not dark to you. But the night shines as the day. For you brought my inner parts into being. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for you made me with fear and wonder. Marvelous are your works. And you know me completely. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and intricately put together in my lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw me unformed, yet in your book all my days were written before any of them came into being. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in the number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God, O violent men, depart from me. For they speak against you and with malice, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not abhor those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my concerns. And see if there is any rebellious way in me. And lead me in the ancient way. You know, this whole psalm categorizes some things I'm going to touch in just a moment about the Lord and what he does for us. But we have to understand that God has perfect knowledge of men. He knows humanity so great. He created humanity. So no wonder he wouldn't have perfect knowledge. But humanity, the majority of it, has spent their lives or spends their lives trying to find a place to hide from God. Getting to a location, they think God's not there. They can't do that. The Bible is very clear. God is everywhere. God is alive forevermore. He's always been, is right now, and will always be. He is the great I am that I am. And as Christians, we understand this. But sometimes I believe Christians try to find a place to get away from God. I've counseled with people, and I've been with people, and you know, and they try to get to a place where they say, you know, I just can't take this Christianity any longer. I believe God loves me, but I'm just going to get away from it. I'm going to take a vacation from God. I'm going to get away from him, and I'm going to think I can handle this on my own. Let me tell you something before I preach this morning. You can't make it without God. Amen. It's not going to work. You know, I remember when I was pastoring over in the Bay in San Lorenzo area, we had this person come to the church, and he has long, flowing red hair. And he had on a big, long beautiful coat. And he had cowboy boots on and black tights. And he came into the church, and I heard about him. He's a great Christian musician. Tremendous. And when I saw him, the Lord spoke to me and said, have him come up and play the piano. So I asked Brother Mike to step aside, and he came up and he played the piano. It was so anointed. See, I didn't go with what the appearance was. I went with what God was saying to do. Now follow me here. You know, sometimes we go by appearance and we think, wow, that guy needs God. Sometimes I believe we have to understand that the way they may look, they may have more God than the person that just said that.
That's right.
Are you with me? Yeah. He wasn't trying to hide from God, because what he was doing is he was taking his musical ability and had a Christian rock band, and he would go into the bars and he would play music for Jesus. Somebody would say, oh my gosh, that guy is just, that's wrong. But what I'm saying to you, that he wasn't trying to hide from God. He was trying to bring God to places where people were hiding. So I joined him. And all the church got in an uproar that their pastor went, not everybody, but most of them was in an uproar, that I went to a bar in Hayward to listen to them and sat at the bar. Now, you know, I didn't go there to drink. I've been delivered from that. I haven't had a drink in 46 years or something like that. But I'm saying to you that, you know, I went there because I knew there would be people that needed God. And, oh, they were an uproar. I can't believe that. They were having discussions about it before I even got there. I was getting phone calls. They're talking about you, Pastor. Oh, my goodness. And you're going to the bar. And why did you let that guy with the long hair up on the platform? And oh, my goodness. And it just seemed that Brother Mike was made to feel bad because he had to step back from the piano. And oh, my goodness. You know, I mean, I felt bruised. And when I went there and that band was playing, and by the way, I'm just, you know, I'm really not into that music. I'm just not into that style of rock and roll music. You know, I'm more into Led Zeppelin and people like that, you know, that are really, you know, like, you know, the Moody Blues, Pink Floyd, you know, more into that area, Grateful Dead, you know, that kind of thing. Those, you know, don't be mad at me. I mean, it's I like that kind of music. I love B.B. King. I'm a blues guy, you know, I'm all into that. But I didn't really like that music, but I like what he was doing. So let me tell you, sometimes you just got to have to do something. You may not like what's going on there, but you need to do what that person's doing, because that person's doing what you should be doing, and you should be taking people into the kingdom. You need to go find out where they're hiding. Does that make sense? So I sat there at the bar, and you know, I had a great time at the bar. Absolutely great time. Man, I had one drink after another of soda water. I was just there enjoying it. I had so much fun, and I just got the biggest kick out of it, because when word got throughout that nightclub, that bar, that there was a pastor there, I had so many people come up one by one. They sat next to me and they wanted to tell me their problems. They wanted to tell me, they wanted to know how God could ever forgive them. You know, and I went through maybe 12 people that night. I gave, you know, and I put on my monthly report that I counseled 12. You know, I had 12 counseling hours because I was right there and I visited them. They were hiding from God, but yet a person that lives for God showed up there and they came out of hiding. Wow. Think about that. You know, sometimes this is where we show God. Inside the four walls of the sterile sanctuary. But outside this building, I often think how many Christians join in with the world and hide from God. So let me just go and tell you that they are never satisfied. People are never satisfied away from God. When someone gets born again and they live several years with the Lord, and then something happens in their life. You know, and friend, let me tell you, things happen in life that we cannot control. Sometimes we make a decision that we regret forever, and God has already forgiven us for it. Are you with me? So, you know, and the one of the most miserable people I ever meet in life, they're unhappy is the person that knew God and now got away from God. And, you know, they don't feel too good in their heart. You know, they don't feel, oh, I feel kind of bad. And they feel in their heart they could never be forgiven. Let me tell you something. God can forgive anybody, anywhere, anytime.
That's right. Yes.
God loves us. He created us. He designed us. He gave us a destiny. He is really, and I like to say this about God because I know it sounds disrespectful, but it isn't. God is really cool. He really does. I mean, he probably wears Ray-Bans. That's how cool he is. But I'm just telling you that literally God is, he is a forgiving God, and he looks into our lives and he sees the length of our days. That doesn't give us permission to mess up, but sometimes people mess up. Are you with me? It happens. And what he is explaining here in this psalm is, you know, God, you're there. Man, I praise you. I can't get away from you. And you, Lord, in the second part of that psalm, you, Lord, you created me. You knew me when I was just a substance. You knew me when I was in the earth, which literally was relating to the womb of his mother. You knew me. You designed me. You watched every bit of me grow from substance to bone to skin to blood veins. You watched that, and you watched me be birthed. You created me. You know my words. You know my thoughts. In other words, I can't get away from you, God. I can't just move away from you. I can't move to another city. And sometimes people do that. They mess up in a town and they move to another town thinking they're going to get away from God. God lives in every town. Yeah, I think it's so funny. You know, it's something I've never understood. And most, some of you have heard me tell this story already, that for a long time I was letting people kind of ask me to do things for them when they flew in from larger cities back east. And while they were here in California, they wanted to go and see San Francisco. So I was asked to kind of be this chauffeur, to drive them around. And I would drive them around. They'd look at the city. And when we went through Oakland, though, I just love this part. When they went through Oakland, they would say, "Is this Oakland?" And I'd say, "Yeah." And they'd say, "Roll the windows up. Lock the door." And I said, "Why? Oh, no. We're scared of Oakland." And they're from back east. I said, "Okay." So let's. So what I would do, I was so cantankerous, I would roll the window down and open up all the, you know, unlock all the doors and just drive through there because, you know, I love Oakland. Okay. And then we'd get to San Francisco, and they like to go at night in San Francisco. And we go through the North Beach, and they would go, "Honey, honey, look, there's a prostitute." And he would say, "Where, honey, where?" And they stare out the windows. And the Lord spoke to me one night and said, "Don't ever do this again. My people are not to be looked at like a zoo. They are my creation." So what was the opposite of that? They should have rolled the windows down, got out of the car in a corner, and raised up a sign, "Jesus saves in Oakland." Amen. Or in Cleveland, Ohio, where I'm from, or Richmond, California. I was with some people 3 or 4 months ago, you know, and they know I pastor in San Pablo, you know. Whoa, San Pablo is wonderful. And they say, "Oh yeah, but even when we lived in Oakland, we would not go to Richmond." No, all of us were afraid of Richmond. I'm thinking, why? When you walk with God, when you have the power of God and you move in the Spirit of God, you can walk anywhere and be who you are in God, and God protects you.
Amen.
I'm so proud of one of our churches over in Stockton this last weekend. Every Friday a month, they go and they pick a corner. And they stand on the corner and they say, hold these big signs up. Beep if you love Jesus. Stop for prayer. And all this stuff. And they spend all day long doing that. You see, showing God. People are running from God. And what we need to do is we need to be that stop sign. We need to be that place where all of a sudden they see us and we remind them of God. I had a person tell me one day, you know, I get around you and I get really uncomfortable. I said, why is that? He says, because you just make me think about God. And I'm thinking, I said in my mind is, thank you for the compliment. You know, I'd rather have people think about God around me than think about anything else, you know. And so what we have to do is we have to understand this creation that we are all part of, whether you want to look at it as a city or you look at it as humanity, God put it together. He put it together. He knows everything about us. And so we find out that God looks at every creation as something very special. You're special. You really are. You know, there are days that we go through that we have hard times. Come on. Have you ever gone through a day where you feel like, oh, God, why did you create me? I'm a mess. Now, if you don't want to raise your hand, I'll raise two for, you know, and then, okay. So anyhow, and then you just go through those days where you're thinking, my Lord, why did you call me to preach? Ah! You know, and I try to hide from God and I can't get away from him. And I got a lot of trees to hide up in Boulder Creek, a lot of trees to hide behind. I saw this great graphic. I just couldn't get it up on this screen today. This great graphic where this guy with a huge pot belly was hiding behind a skinny tree. And it says, this is how God sees you when you hide. You know, and I thought, what a great graphic. You know, and sometimes we try to hide from God, and we can't. We can't hide from him in our homes. We can't hide from him when we go to a public area, in a beach or whatever it may be, and we're having a party with everybody there and families. We can't hide from him. He's there, and we have to go ahead and understand that. And what he's really wanting us to do, this is really what God wants us to do, to get to be created, to be born again, so he can lead us and guide us into the everlasting promise of everlasting life. That's what it's about. And he knows that you and I, every one of us, are not perfect. It just doesn't work that way. If you think you're perfect, I'm sorry, I'm going to be offensive here. You're not. You're not perfect. As a matter of fact, some of you are so far from perfect, it's amazing. But literally, I mean, literally, we have to understand that. I was looking in the mirror. We have to understand that how important it is that we understand who God is in our life. Amen. He's very clear in this psalm, very clear. I cannot figure you out, God, in so many words. But we have to understand that God knows that already. He just wants us to trust him and to have hope in him and to allow him to guide us. When that guy came in the church over there that day in San Lorenzo, God said, bring him up on a platform. He was guiding me. How many people got saved through that? I don't have the count. How many people from that bar experience actually gave their heart to the Lord? I say, I will not. I will never do this. I will never ask somebody who's drunk to receive the Lord. Because they're a mess. They go, oh, yeah, well, how do I pray? You know, give me another drink there. I'm going to pray. Give me one. Let me have a shot before I do this. You know, this may be my last shot, Pastor. Oh, yeah. No, no. You know, I'm going to let them know when they are sober, let's talk about Jesus. But I'm going to seed their heart. You and I need to seed God's heart. Let me tell you, God is all present. He's here with us right now.
Amen.
This whole psalm is broken down into three parts of God. He's all present, he's all knowledgeable, and he's all powerful. That's who he is. We can't get away from him. He knows everything about us. And if we need help, he's got the power.
Amen.
He's there. He cares for us. He loves us. But humanity's way of doing things in our own minds, sometimes we can get really, really like this. We forget who he is. We say prayers like, God, I can't find you. Where are you? Hello? I'm right there. But we get so blinded with our own fears and our own doubts and our own areas, we pull back from God instead of pouring into God. And we feel like, and I'm not, listen to me, humanity or human personalities, and I'm trying to be very general here, make us, when we fall, feel horrible. If you fall, if you belong to a church and you fall, you walk into that church, it's a horrible experience. Everybody looks at you like, whoa. And they look at their, and they all, you know, this is the worst thing in the world. You come into church and you're coming in to, you know, kind of give your heart back to the Lord. And you get that look from, you know, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. And the worst thing is that they look at their neighbor and they go. You know, all the body language is there. And so what do you want to do?
Run.
But what people should do is then be thankful. I always tell this, when a doctor goes into a cancer patient, he doesn't go into that patient and says, you know what, you have cancer and you're dying. The patient should say to the doctor, "Durr, hospital room, diagnosis, I've been tested, I'm in stage 4, tell me something that'll help me." When people come back to God, they come into the church, they know where they've been.
Yes, right.
They're saying, I want God. Yes. I need God. I desire the presence of God in my life. Not that it's not already there, it's there, but I need to sense God again.
Yes.
I need to know what forgiveness is again. I need to be applicable when I come to the Lord, that I know that He's going to mold me and shape me, and He's going to clear out this vessel and He's going to pour into me. Don't give me a look like, uh-oh. Don't give me a look and then turn to somebody else and give me the body language. What are they doing here? We have to understand that God knows everything about us. Do you know every word you speak, He already knows what you're going to speak? Somebody said, well, why do you pray, Pastor? You pray so much. Why do you pray if He already knows what you're going to say? I said, because if He knows what I'm going to say and He hears it again, praise God, He's hearing it twice. He loves to hear us pray. He loves to hear us sit in silence. He loves to have us be part of what He's doing. He loves for us to embrace people and tell them how much we love them and care for them. We have to understand that our mind is finite. We have boundaries. I know what Ephesians 3:20 says. He is exceedingly abundantly, more than able to all that we ask or think according to the power that's within us. In other words, we can think really large. We can dream really big, but when you compare it to God's infinite mind, who has no boundaries, you are like a minute spot in the middle of this huge, huge galaxy. And I'm not demeaning there. It's just God is infinite. His thoughts are way higher than our thoughts. His ways are much higher than our ways. And He rains upon us His mercy and His love as rain comes to the earth, but it never returns to Him void. What He does in our life always brings praise to Him if we would accept Him and acknowledge His great love, His grace and His mercy in our lives all the time. So there's 5 things that happen in our life with God through this song. Number 1, we have to realize that He knows us. He knows us. You can look across this room. You know, I look at everybody in this room. Some of you I've known for years, so I can say I know really well. Some of you I dedicated as a child. Yes, I know that I'm young. Don't say anything. I realize how young I am. You know, and I dedicated as a child. And I literally realize I know that person. Then there's some people that I just met that just came in today. I'm excited to get to know them. I'm pleased that they're here. There are others. You know somebody so much here and there. But God knows you before you even took a breath of air that's on this earth. God knows you. So there's no place to hide. And humanity needs to understand that. It's not like hide and seek with God. It's just seek God. Know who God is and know what the pleasures of life that He has for us. And secondly, He is with us no matter where we go. So why could I go into that bar that night? Because I know God was with me.
Amen.
Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world.
Yes.
Greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. He's there. He's there all the time, even in those times where you wonder, God, are you with me? I don't know how many times I've gotten phone calls or texts or, and I understand these things. I go through things myself. I'm sitting here not saying to you that I never go through those things. Sometimes I've had, like 2 days ago, I went through a horrific day. I told my wife yesterday, I was bombarded. I just looked at myself as a loser. I just didn't feel like I had anything together. Nothing was right. Everything was wrong. And, you know, I knew I was going to preach this message. And so I sometimes go to God, why do I have to feel this when I know what I got to preach to these people? And God says, you need to feel what you're preaching. But literally, I just felt horrible. Horrible. I'm just being open with you. You know, I walk with God. I pray every day. I read God's word. I minister to people. I'm all over the Bay Area. I'm talking to people across the nation. I'm speaking to people. And I'm trying to tell you something, that I just felt alone, horrible, nothing going, done. Emotions sometimes take over. So when I say I get texts from people and I get phone calls from people, it's because the same thing goes on with them. And sometimes we really forget that God's with us. And we look at ourselves, and now this is why I wanted to bring the finite and the infinite into it, is this, is literally what we do is we look at ourselves in a finite way. God sees us totally different. And what I want to challenge you this morning, and I'm going to close in a minute. What I want to challenge you this is understand that the Lord sees you differently. And please seek Him. And just accept that, God, I know you see me different. You know, I've had people tell me, you know, Pastor, I just don't feel beautiful. I feel terrible. And I tell them, you are beautiful. You have to see how God sees you. You have to understand that, you know, God loves you so much that He already sees you complete. He sees you done. He sees you effective. He sees you great. And not like we want to see ourselves as we're like all broken and just shattered. And all of a sudden we walk with God 10 years, 5 years, 3 days, 46 years. You've been preaching, you've been teaching, you're not doing that, or you are doing that, or whatever. You know, all the subjects that come through our mind. And we feel like God has just left us off. Like, it's like this. God looks at us and He, well, you know, you were once my friend, but you're not any longer. Oh, I'm done using you. Goodbye. What kind of a God would do that?
Right.
Not the God we're praising this morning.
Right.
Not the God I'm preaching about this morning.
Right.
You know, I'm saying that God doesn't do that to us. God, His hand never pushes. His hand gathers. His hand doesn't just go, you know, I'm through with you, and He washes His hands of us. No. He's not a Caesar. He is simply God, who pulls us close to Him and allows us to rest upon the bosom of His heart and to feel the breath of His love upon us. And He guides us down the paths of righteousness for His name's sake.
Amen.
He gives us His word so our path is lit up and we see where we're going. He never, ever rejects us. Who rejects us? People. People. And we need not to be like that. We are people. We are human. But we need to be more God-like in every day of our walk with God and understand that. Thirdly, we need to realize that I've already subjected this greatly here, but He made us. He made us. You didn't come around any other way but God. Okay. I mean, if you did, I want to meet with you after service. We're going to talk about it. You know, I know there's all these new TV sitcoms and dramas and sci-fi things on where all these people are showing up on earth and they didn't come from God. They're just coming around to help all the people on earth get to be like them. You know, sounds like how humanity is, isn't it? People just kind of get into your life and they want you to become like them. You know, we need to become like God. He's in our life. And He hears us. There's not a moment that you don't speak that God doesn't hear you. He hears everything you say. Whether or not you're being, which I'm never, cantankerous, which I'm never grouchy, which I never say things that I wish I would have never said. You know, I know a lot of people are like that. Oh, I'm so thank you, Father. So I just describe myself, okay? I'm cantankerous, I'm grouchy, and I say things that come out of my mouth, and I go, why did I just say that? I say things like, Kathy, I'm not going to talk negative today about anything at all. Right after I say that, I go, man, could you believe what that was like? You know, we got to understand, we're human beings. I need God. Let me say that to you. I need God more and more every day. And I've got a great wife who reminds me that I'm cantankerous, grouchy, and says things that I should not say. So I have to say thank you, God, for that wife. And inside I'm going, ugh. God brings reminders into our life. Friends. A mate. Someone we love that will tell us the truth. Don't expect Jesus to show up at your front door today with a pair of Ray-Bans on. When he knocks on the door, you look out and he goes, I'm Jesus. And you go, whoa. If that happens, please call me. Get a selfie. I want to see this. I'm all over it. You know, like I'm telling you, when Moses was there at the burning bush, I would have got a selfie big time if it was me. I'd be all over it. I'd be all over Facebook, you know. You know, like that, you know, having Jesus all the time looking at me, you know. But I'm trying to say to you really is we just need to understand something, that we know that he hears us and he wants us to be good. And we are hard at being good sometimes. Are you going to admit this or not? You know, I don't mind being the only one, but I'm trying to tell you that this psalm tells us we got a hope. That he's there. And here's the last thing, that he leads us.
Yes.
Amen. Wow. He leads us. And sometimes we are like, I'm going to say a very crazy analogy here, but I have puppies right now. So it's an analogy that comes to my mind. You put a puppy on a leash, you have just signed up for a tug of war. And sometimes we become a puppy on a leash with God. He wants to lead us someplace and we start pulling back because we're afraid. We don't know what's going on. God's saying to you and to me, like he did the other day, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. God wants us to not have a leash. He wants us to follow him in obedience, knowing that where he leads us is great. You see, he knows what rule we walk by. He knows what end we walk towards and what company we walk with. That's what God knows. So we can't go to heaven. He's going to be there. We can't go to hell. He's going to be there. We can't go to the uttermost parts of the sea. He's going to be there. We can go to darkness. He's going to be there. He's everywhere. And he loves us. He's crazy about us, actually. He loves us so much. Our goal every day, in my closing, is that we need to ask God to lead us every day. Every day. And believe me, I know what it is to struggle. I know what it is to get bummed. I know what it is to have the happiest day of your life. I know what it is to feel the greatest smile, that your face feels like it's cracking. You're smiling so hard. I know what it is to feel good. And I know what it is to all of a sudden walk off into this area where you feel like you just hit a valley and there was no bottom and you're still falling. And I know there's people that say, that never happens to me. Man, I'm the happiest person in the world. I don't even know. How can you do that to yourself? Oh, I feel so good. You know, and I want to say, you're just, you know, I'm going to say it. You're lying. You're hiding behind some sort of a shield. You know, we are human beings and we need God. And yes, we have different characteristics. And yes, we have different personalities. And yes, we have different pasts that we have to deal with. You know, we do. We have different pains and things that we went through in our life that God has healed us from. And every once in a while, I want to show up again.
Right. Right.
And we just have to trust God through that.
Amen.
And don't allow it to control us.
Right.
We need to give it to God.
Amen.
So today I ask you to say a prayer every day. Father, lead me today.
Yes.
Give me hope today again.
Yes.
Restore me to the joy of my salvation today again, God. We live in a very negative world. And we're living in a time of great uncertainty. It's easy to see. But we're living in a time that also God's presence is there.
Amen.
God's love is there.
Amen.
And there's no uncertainty with God.
Amen.
He cares for us.
Yes.
He cares for us. Amen.